And here we are, the next Berlinale is about to happen. We just returned from Sundance and now we are, of course, at the next festival with the director, Trisha Tuttle. Hi.
Hello, how you doing?
Thank you. So how are you doing? It's your second Berlinale. The first time, I guess, it's always a lot of chaos, a lot of changes. The second time, many people say, is when you really can find your way, your vibe, and start to do the festival like you envision it.
I've done 25 years of film festivals and every year is different. So you never sit back and relax. It's always chaos. New things always come up. I did learn a lot last year that I've taken into this year. I'm sure I'll do the same again next year, but you never relax. But I know a little bit more about what the Berlinale is and know the areas that we want, that I want to work on and evolving.
In the past, we have already seen changes in the festival direction. I remember still the big hopes we all had when Chatrian came and how all these hopes then were not fulfilled. Now, actually, we see changes happening. The competition is finally more diverse than it ever was. I thought I wouldn't live to see that. The special section, which we used to call the trash can of the Berlinale, suddenly has quality films. So these are immense changes that many people thought would not be possible. What have you done to achieve that? Have you envisioned that? And do you have more plans to really take the Berlinale to a different position than where it was before?
I mean, I think it's important to say that thank you for the really lovely compliments. And we want to bring energy to the program. And you're clearly responding to that, which is great. I don't see it as a radical shift. I see it as an evolution. And I loved so many films from the last years as well, too. But I have always been a programmer who thinks about audiences and thinks about different audiences coming to the festival. I happen to have incredibly broad interest and taste, but I know that isn't true of every single person who loves cinema. We don't want to be eclectic in a bad sense, but we want to be welcoming and open and diverse. I think that makes a tasty festival, and that's what we want to do. We want to have films like Good Luck, Have Fun, Don't Die, alongside a Ruth Beckerman film and say, these are not different animals. This is all part of cinema. You might love both of them. You might love one of them. You might hate the other one. But I do think that makes a festival exciting, those points of tension and taste and flavor across the festival.
How do you convince artists and talents to return to Berlinale after many have kind of crossed it off their festival calendar?
I don't think anyone has. I mean, I do think that Berliners and Germans are harder on this festival than the international world is. It's very valued. I mean, this year in our competition, we have 14 filmmakers who've been in some way at the Berlinale previously, whether it was with a short film or talents or screening in different sections. And I think that the fact they want to come back to us shows how much the festival's valued. One thing that is definitely true is that everybody's struggling financially. You know, there's for journalists, there's less space to write about the films that you want to write about. There's less money for sales companies and distributors. It's harder because we're still trying to equalize and find what normal looks like. And that has affected a little bit. There's tension around that. But I think every festival, you know, you just went to Sundance, I'm sure they felt the same things. It's the industry's changing and we're still adapting. But there is a huge amount of passion and interest still from the international community in this festival. And last year, we had the highest ticket sales that we've ever had. So the public audience is excited. I hope journalists get excited and Germans get excited about it as well, too, because I think you guys are very lucky. And I feel very lucky to be here to have this incredible festival. It's a gift.
One last question about the artist before we move on to the press. Is there a fee to submit a film for Berlinale, as with many festivals, and how high is it?
That's a good question, and we'll have to send you the details. But yes, absolutely. We receive 8,000 films that are submitted, and we have more than 100 people who are viewing the films with us and talking about. And every film that gets submitted is watched by sometimes 2 people, but sometimes 15 people. The further it goes through the selection process, the more people watch it. It covers the time for people.
We just mentioned the fact that the press is excited and loves to go to the festival, but there is the thing that the accreditation fee is immensely high. There's no form of reduction for people who are suffering from social hardship. Other festivals have strongly varying accreditation fees. It goes from nothing in Sundance to something like 40 or 30 euros, often in Venice and Cannes. Who decides about the accreditation fee, and does it not position a very strong materialist barrier for people from, especially from lower class press, which are already nearly not represented in this festival, 70 euros?
Well, Frank is more in the detail than I am.
The Venice has the same amount of money for accreditation fees, and compared to other German-based festivals, they are also between 50 and 60 usually. The fee is much lower than the fee for festival accreditation, so for other people from the industry. This includes also filmmakers. It's not only about big film companies that pay the fee for the accreditation. It has become common practice. It's a little bit like the submission fee. We have so many people that have to deal with those requests. So we have thousands of requests. So we somehow have to cover the expenses we have for just dealing with the requests. It's not just to click some on the website.
I think, you know, it is, you make a really good point, because I think we do want journalists to come who are really established and being paid by publications. We want journalists to come who are freelance and independent, but I also, and it's not always easy, but I do think that the having the 70 euros price, when you look at all the investment that goes in, and we are not a money-making organization. We earn 60% of our income, but we couldn't run the festival without public subsidy. And this includes seeing hundreds of films. It includes access to interviews. It includes a lot of time. So I do think it's fair, but we also are thinking about other ways that we can help student journalists. There's work that we do in talents. But yeah, it's tough for everybody. The whole industry is really, really hard right now.
What measurements are there in general to encourage diversity also among the press, both in sense of ethnical representation, social representation?
The same things that we do across all of our organizational activities, because we have many, many programs across the festival that are addressing areas of the industry that are under, where people are underrepresented. So we have Toolbox, we have Talents, we have mentorship programs that really are about broadening out who comes to the festival and who gets access. I mean, Toolbox is really particularly about that and focusing on the Global South. The Berlinale Talents have press cohort as well. It's everyone who works in the industry. It's writers, directors, actors, critics, emerging distribution professionals. It's the whole 360 degree ecosystem.
Would you like to expand a little bit on what these groups or these sections actually do to, for example, bring more people from underclass, more people without conventional education to the Berlinale?
Yeah, well, I will focus first on filmmakers, because that is mainly what our programs are for. But we definitely move people through the programs. You don't get an automatic pass if you've come through one of our programs, but there are people who screen short films with us, people who come to Talents as a young professional, and we have people from all over the world and from Germany, and then they move through and go through different programs with countless examples of that. And critics are also like that. We have people who've started at Talents and then gone on to be accredited professionals as well too.
There's a general shift in the press landscape, which means that press and journalism in a conventional sense in terms of film coverage is disappearing. We have more and more influencers and advertisers. Mm. And this is a very, very strong shift at other festivals. Do you feel that this is inevitable and we should encourage it or go with the flow? Or is it something that you want to slow down?
I think blocking and slowing down, it should be less of our focus should be on blocking and more on opening up. I think writing, proper journalism, proper deep thought about the industry and the films is absolutely critical. I mean, it's so important, and we are losing that. And I talk about that all the time, and I think about that all the time, because a healthy film industry needs people thinking deeply and writing deeply about cinema. And the space to do that is getting smaller and smaller. So we think about that a lot. But we also, on the other hand, want to take seriously new kinds of journalism. And it really should be about the diversity of voices. But I've seen people on creators on TikTok who are really serious cinephiles, and they want to turn people on to great cinema. So we're open to that as well too. But celebrity-based, we don't accredit celebrity-based influencers. It's not really part of our ecosystem. It's much more cinephile anyway.
How long does the preparation for a festival actually take? Does it start right after the Berlinale is over to do the next Berlinale?
No, it starts before. So I'm already thinking about 2027, even though we're working on 2026. It really is, you know, I'm thinking about 2028 as well, too. We think it never stops, not a single year program.
The Berlinale is one of the festivals with a broad and large film selection, also in terms of the number of films. Sometimes people say it's too much and you just lose count of the films. Do you plan to condense it more to also sharpen the focus on specific works of film?
We did condense the festival in 2024, was the first year we had a smaller program, and don't have plans to go smaller still. I think one of the things that I love about the Berlinale is that its breadth means that we can contain many things that are for different parts of the industry. So forum might be very different from competition. There are some crossover films. There are some films that forum might want and competition might want. But what I really hope we can do, and I talk to all of our section heads and our programmers about it, is to try to make sure that every part of the festival has its own personality, and that people know, journalists who might be interested in forum films know that they can go, what they're going to get. They understand the curation. And I think that's really important. So it's not a soup of films that you don't know why they're in one section or another section. That's more important than making smaller, is clarity of ideas and clarity of programming.
How would you describe in a few words the Berlinale in the context of the European festival landscape and the international festival landscape?
Very important. I mean, it's one of the most important festivals in the world. And I say that sort of as an outsider, and I'm still allowed to say that because it's vital for the film industry. I mean, we are both the biggest public film festival in the world and also one of the biggest markets in the world. So bringing those two things together, there's a lot of potential for us to support a wide range of filmmakers. And we're really interested in making sure we've programmed so many beautiful films that we love passionately, and we want audiences here to see them and get excited about them. But we also want a great distributor from Japan or, you know, South Korea or Ghana, because we do have a distribution program focused on Africa right now. We want people to see the films and like get encouraged and take them back and show them to audiences in their own country. So I love every bit of what we do, but I also see that we have an intervention to make sure that cinema culture stays diverse and vibrant, and that's embedded in all of the work that we do.
How many films would you say you watch if a festival is prepared and the process of the festival? And do you have even time to watch films during the festival? Or?
During the festival, I don't see any films, but luckily I've seen them. But I probably watch anywhere between 220 and 300 features as we prepare for the festival. Some of my programmers watch triple that. I mean, watching all year long. Yeah, I wish I had. I never get sick of watching films. If I didn't have other work to do, I could watch films all day, every day. But I do have to balance it out with sponsorship and business and operations.
So we just have one more question. If there's one thing you would wish for the Berlinale to become or to happen, what would it be?
I think you see what we believe in. And I'm really, really proud of this festival. I think I've always spoken about not revolutionizing the festival, but evolving it and energizing it and making it fit for the future. So I think you're starting to see the festival, you know, that we believe in, that we always have, but it's really about sharpening and clarity and adjusting ourselves to the fact that the whole world and the industry is changing, which we're doing right now.
Thank you so much, Trisha Tassel, for this interview.
You're welcome.